Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, we welcome back the Ocean State Theater Company and their presentation of Lend Me a Tenor, a very funny program which we'll find out all about. And unusually for the Ocean State Theater Company, Amy Turner is not here tonight. Last month, she was in New York, and she is again this time. So we had Joel Kipper, the producing manager of the theater, was in last time. This time, we're going to go it alone. I'm taking a big risk here. I'm going to introduce you to two gentlemen that are involved in Lend Me a Tenor. First off, Kevin Parisseau is the director. Welcome, Kevin.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for being
here. Nice to see you again. You've been around before with the Ocean State Theater, right?
Yes, 2012. I was here doing 9 to 5 down at Theater by the Sea when they were producing down there.
9 to 5. Okay, what a way to make a living. And Bruce Sabbath is here. Bruce, welcome.
How you doing, Mike? Good to be here.
Nice to meet you. And Bruce is playing the lead role, Tito, right?
Tito Morelli, sì.
Tito Morelli, hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
I'm glad you're doing good. Okay, and this is you're a rookie here at the Ocean State Theater, right?
This is my first time at the Ocean State Theater. Yes, I'm glad to be here.
And for a young guy who's only been in the business what, about 4 or 5 years, maybe.
I don't know about that.
10, 15, 20.
Yeah.
About how long have you been in the business?
Well, actually, though I am old, I've only been in the business about 15 years. This is a latter career for me, a second career, maybe a third career. I'm not sure how you count.
All right.
But I had a more conventional business career before I became an actor at about age 35.
Actually started at Harvard University, right?
Right. I was a computer science major at Harvard. Back in the day.
So you and Bill Gates.
That's right. You know. Bill left. He, had a moderately successful career doing something. Can't remember what he ended up doing. But now I started as a computer consultant in New York. And then I worked on Wall Street for a while, got my MBA, went back, did some strategy management consulting. Mm-hmm. And then... One morning, woke up and said, "What the heck am I doing? This is insane.
I got to get out of this.
I got to get out of here." And figured out that the thing that I really wanted to be doing was something that I had done when I was younger and had sort of continued to dabble in, but never really considered seriously. So at about 35, I left the business world and went back and started studying acting seriously for a couple of years. And then started auditioning, and
there
the
you
rest
go.
Is history.
The rest is history. And so were you a New England native, or did you just come here for school?
I'm actually from Rochester, New York, originally.
Oh, that's too bad. All right.
Upstate New York. have always loved Boston and New England.
Did you ever see snow in Rochester?
A little, a teeny bit. Teensy-weensy.
Kind of like the winter we had this year, I'm sure.
Pretty much all the time. Right. Yeah, I was just talking about with some the other day about how growing up, the snow plows would push all the snow up. It seemed like every year, and there'd be like 8 high mounds of snow, and we would build snow forts inside like igloos. I had kind of forgotten about those huge snowbanks until this year.
And we were reminded. We were all reminded.
I'm sure all the kids are loving it.
We're going to find out a little bit about Kevin, and then we'll talk about the show. Kevin, you're a New England guy, right?
Yeah, born and raised here in Rhode Island. Grew up in East Providence, and then just couldn't get enough and went to Brown as well. So I'm,
East Providence High School?
East Providence High School.
Townie, right?
Yeah, I was a townie, exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, we had an excellent football team in those days. I don't know how we're doing these days, but...
Well, I believe probably Pilgrim was better than...
Really?
Yeah,
why do you think that, Mike? Why would you have that?
As my, at least in the days I was there.
Take it easy, boys.
So then off to Brown University.
Yeah, and, you know, graduated from there and thought I would be a teacher for a while, and did teach for a while. I went out to California and taught at a private school in Pasadena, and during that time, sort of was.
Did you have a little old lady in the class?
We did. Okay. I took her car. Yeah. And right, I took her car from her. Right.
Bruce, if you weren't paying attention, you might have missed that whole thing.
I'm sure there was something in there. I didn't get.
I wanted to go back and just say that Bruce was responsible for the complete collapse of the economy a few years ago. It was his leaving
the Wall Street. Area.
Yes, the whole Wall Street. Yeah. If he had stayed, he could have kept the whole thing
for
going.
That I apologize.
Yeah, that's right. So Pasadena.
Yeah, I was out there for a few years and started to sort of dip my toe into sort of doing stuff professionally as an actor. And after a while, I thought, if I'm going to really do this, I want to move back east and, you know, get closer to New York. So I moved back to New England for a bit, started working here in the sort of Providence, Boston market, and then moved to New York in the mid-90s.
There you go. All right. Well, we're going to play some music today that doesn't have necessarily anything to do with the show, which is a little unusual because normally when Ocean State Theater comes in, we're talking about a musical, so we play, if it's Legally Blonde, we play the music from Legally Blonde or Rent or, The Last 5 Years or My Fair Lady, whatever it's been over the time. But today, we're going to get you in the mood with some opera, and we're not going to be real specific about this, but it's opera that the theater sent along to accompany you guys. Just to get us in the mood, we'll play a cut now, and then we'll come back and talk some more.
Quel fazzoletto, vieni, cerca nessuno. Lo vidi in mani.
Tassio!
Ah, vedi la vita, li dona a
Right.
Bruce, is there any particular reason we're listening to this kind of music? I mean, obviously, Lend Me a Tenor has to do with opera, but I have never seen the show, so tell me why.
Good question. Well, Lend Me a Tenor is a play, not a musical, and it's a hysterical comedy. And the reason that we're listening to this music is this particular music is the opera Otello by Giuseppe Verdi. And
Joe Green.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right. That's what his friends call him.
Yeah.
And the reason it's significant is that in the plot of Lend Me a Tenor, the Cleveland Opera Company in Cleveland, Ohio, has engaged this famous Italian tenor, Tito Morelli, to come and be the headliner at their big gala event. And he's going to come and sing Otello, the lead role in the opera Otello. So that is that's what's happening in the play.
All right.
And that's why we're listening to some Otello today.
So we'll listen to a couple more pieces as the show goes on, but you play the role of the big shot opera star, right?
That's right.
Tito
Morelli, Il Stupendo, as he's known.
Stupendo, okay. Now, Kevin, you have involvement with this show before?
Yeah, I, as an actor, I did this show four times in the 90s. You know, when it plays on Broadway, then the play's rights get released, and regional theater companies all over the country then have the opportunity to do the show. And this show originally ran on Broadway in 1989-1990. So after 1990, when it closed and the rights were sort of released, I did about four productions of it in the early to mid-90s. The first one being the one in which I met my wife, and the last being the one in which I met Mickey Rooney.
Well,
so
there you go.
from the most tender-hearted moment in my life to one of the craziest.
And for people that didn't know Mickey Rooney off of camera, I mean, he was a real character. I'm sure you.
Oh my goodness!
Everyone that ever met him has stories.
Oh my gosh! You know, one of the things having done three productions of it, you know, the script is what it is, and heading to Chicago, I was a replacement in this production, and the script arrived, and I took a look at it, and I saw all these cuts and all these places where additional dialogue was written on the side, and all of this stuff. And I called the stage manager. I said, "What's going on?" I said, "Why are all these cuts in here?" She said, "Well, Mickey doesn't do the show, you know, as written." I said, "Oh," and she says, "No, it's kind of Mickey's show." And when I arrived in Chicago finally, having re-memorized the thing to incorporate his changes, I got to the show and he said, "Now, did you get the script?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Like, 'cause I don't do it as written. I do my own thing." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I got it. I'm all set." He said, "These people aren't coming to see Lend Me a Tenor. They're coming to see me." I said, "Yeah, I got that. I got it." So he was quite a character.
Yeah, well, in reality, he's probably right. But
no, yeah, he was. Oh, and it was palpable. He would walk out onto that stage every night as Saunders, I mean, you could just feel it. People wanted to be in the same room with him. It was it's something. It really is. That's when you really know what a star is. I mean, he was a star, you know.
Right, right. I did have the privilege, I guess, of doing a couple shows with him, and it was always interesting that he was one of those characters you can't forget.
No.
All right. We're going to insert another piece of music right now, and then we'll be back with more of Lend Me a Tenor at the Ocean State Theater Company.
Oh,
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Ocean State Theater Company representatives. The director of Lend Me a Tenor, Kevin Pariseau, is here, and the star, the chief mucky muck, the big head honcho,
Il Stupendo,
playing the role of Tito Morelli,
si,
is Bruce Sabbath. And we've been having a good time talking about the show and listening to a little opera music mixed in. We're going to do a little bit more of that, but we're going to get to the nuts and bolts of the production. It's going to run, it opens this Wednesday, guys. I hope you're ready. I mean, you know, previews are Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, I got to put my makeup on.
Yeah. There you go. And get,
that's,
you know,
it's that's a process.
It's Sunday night, and it's only a few nights away. I'm sure everything is perfect at this point.
The doors are slamming. The props are in their places. Everything is in readiness.
Now, see, when he says the doors are slamming, that's a little hint. There are six doors involved in the show, I believe.
Yes.
And you'll see those very vividly once you walk into the theater, and we'll find out about that in a moment. But the show is running from April 1st to April 19th, and if you'd like to get tickets, you can do that by going to their great website, which is oceanstatetheater.org, or you can call 401-921-6800, talk to Tom, and tell Tom that Kevin said you could have a discount.
that's right. I offer it.
Yeah, if you know the pocket. Secret word, all you got to do is figure out what the secret word is, and there you go. So if you come to, Kevin, will you actually be there for the opening night, Friday night?
I will. I'll be there through Friday night, and then we have our little opening night party, and then I'm off, and I leave it in the capable hands of the cast.
All right. I'll see you on Friday night, and obviously, Bruce, I'll see you there, too, at that. And then on Sunday, Kevin won't be there. He doesn't want to stick around for this. We'll have an opportunity to talk to the audience where I go and do the Conducting Conversations Live, as we call it, and have the opportunity to get on the stage as soon as the program is over and bring the actors back out. And that's your opportunity, if you're sitting in the audience on that Sunday afternoon, to ask questions and find out a little bit more. And if you ask the right questions, you could win a Bruce Sabbath 8x10 glossy autograph.
And if you bring rotten tomatoes and throw them at the stage, you could be escorted from the theater. Oh, no! You could be.
All of those things could happen. But we want to make sure
I'm bringing an umbrella.
There you go. We'll tell you more about other things happening at the Ocean State. They've just announced next year's season and all kinds of stuff happening. But I want to get back to Lend Me a Tenor. We haven't talked much about what's going on there. First off, since we touched on the six doors, I know that Amanda designed the sets, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
There are six doors Beautiful. Involved. What is that for?
Well, Amy called me when we were talking, when I was sort of interviewing to direct the show, and she said, what is the most important scenic element to you? I said, there is no question, but the most important scenic element in this show is doors. I mean, this is a farce. The show is a farce, and so we have a number of people running in and out of rooms and in and out of hallways and closets, and I said to her, all of these doors must slam. I mean, they are that's one of the comedy elements of the piece, and I said it has to be part of the picture. And Amanda, who designed the set, said to me, she says, oh, they will slam. Don't you worry.
they are used to making great sets at the Ocean State Theater. If you haven't been there yet, you should take this opportunity. Come out and see Lend Me a Tenor. And the set design is always spectacular. And Bruce, do you get to go through a couple of these doors once in a while?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think I go through... go through every single one of the six doors. That's right. I do. Actually, I was just making sure. Yes, I do. I use all six of the doors. I slam at least two of them. I close a couple of them quietly. But the slamming is the fun part.
There you go.
When I'm arguing with my wife, Maria, and we say, shut up! Shut up yourself! Boom!
That's, you know, okay, shut up yourself.
Right. And the door slams. And
how many other cast members are there besides you, Bruce?
There's eight altogether.
Okay.
Yeah, it's four guys, four
girls.
So
for a play, that's a lot of people. I mean, the last couple of plays at Ocean State have been two and three people, so now mm-hmm. you're getting up there, so that there's plenty of characters running around.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's the characters are great. They're classic comedy characters. The play has, while it's a contemporary play, it has a real sort of old-time feel to it. It feels mm-hmm. like a 40s movie or a, you know, 40s play, that kind of thing. You've got, you know, of course, this opera star and his very overbearing wife who come from Italy to Cleveland. You've got the nerdy opera manager, Max, who desires in his heart to be an opera singer. You've got his boss, the overbearing Saunders, who has his thumb on this poor guy all the time, and Saunders' daughter, who is Max's love, who is a sweet, lovely girl.
Mm.
You've got the soprano, Diana, who is a vamp and who wants nothing more than to sleep her way to the top, and is very excited to have a big star in Cleveland to help get her there. And then you've got the matron of the theater, who's kind of that sort of like that
Margaret Dumont,
exactly,
type.
From the Marx Brothers movies, you know,
right.
Who's
yeah.
kind of a little bit ditzy. And then you've got, of course, the very strident bellboy, who also would like to be an opera star.
Everybody in Cleveland seems to want to be in this opera, you know, sooner right. or later. They all want.
They all want something.
Exactly.
So it's a really funny bunch of characters.
Yeah, it's great.
In this.
Right. Well, the bellboy is used as part of the logo, so I knew there had to be a bellboy.
Yeah, right. exactly.
And the doors are also used
that's
as
right.
part
that's,
of the
that's
logo,
the
so obviously
the door.
It's
yeah,
important. Right. All right, Kevin, a little bit of your background. We mentioned briefly that you were at Ocean State Theater Company when they were at Theater by the Sea doing 9 to 5.
That's right.
And we have a cut, right? That,
yes. Well, previous to doing 9 to 5, I had the great pleasure to be in the original Broadway company of Legally Blonde. So
I was trying to get the tie in. I knew the cut was Legally Blonde, and I'm trying to think what the tie over
yeah,
was.
Yeah, no, I was I did that show for its entire Broadway run in 2007 and 2008. So that was a great pleasure.
He
so
we have a cut from that that we're going to listen to now. All right, here
terrific.
We go.
So, gentlemen, Harvard Law grants admission to Adam Cohen and Sundeep Padamadon.
Ooh, outstanding.
And now Ms. L. Woods, who was kind enough to send in a headshot.
She's applying.
Apparently.
Well, she has a 4.0 average.
Yes, in fashion merchandising.
Well, she did get a 175 on her LSATs.
Yes, and there's also a letter of recommendation from Oprah Winfrey. Gentlemen, I'm not arguing Miss Woods is unqualified, but look at her. Is that the face of Harvard Law?
Multiculturalism.
Excuse me?
We should admit her for reasons of...
But multiculturalism!
Multiculturalism, exactly.
Gentlemen, please get a hold of yourselves. This is Harvard Law School, not Match.com. Oh, look at that. Oh, what a shame. She didn't bother sending in a personal essay.
Jargon!
Now see here, Ms. Woods. You can't just barge in here with singing and dancing and ethnic movement. It's a very flashy presentation, but I still don't see one reason to admit you.
How about love? You ever been in love? 'Cause if you have, you'll know that love never accepts a defeat. No challenge it can't meet, no place it cannot go. Don't say no to a woman in love. Don't laugh when I say love. Don't think that I'm naive. Because even a person who's smart can listen to their heart, can listen and believe. So believe in what love can achieve. Do you believe?
I do.
Do you believe?
Me too.
Yes, we believe in love. How about you?
Welcome to Harvard.
Now, in fairness, giving the equal opportunity time, since we played a little cut from Kevin's past, we're gonna go to Bruce now, and this is a little interesting segue because Bruce, your first Broadway production was a Sondheim production, right?
That's right. I was in Stephen Sondheim and George Firth's company, which was in 2006.
All right, and that little segue is that after Lend Me a Tenor, the Ocean State Theater Company will be doing Into the Woods, a very popular Sondheim musical that's going on right now. So that's the segue.
And it was just a movie too. Right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's very popular right now. And so the movie
Good
was
time.
Out and won awards, and none of the three of us were in the movie. But anyway,
yeah. And it's always better live. I mean, a theater piece like that.
Right. So let's get back to Company. Tell us about that experience.
Well, that was absolutely fantastic. Really wonderful experience in my life. The production was directed by John Doyle and starred Raul Esparza, and had originated in Cincinnati, actually, as a regional production. And
so another Ohio thing.
That's right. I seem to have an affinity for Ohio. I've actually worked quite a bit in Ohio, as it turns out, in my life. John Doyle had gotten the commission to do a company at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, and he had just done some work in London, which is how he got that job. But as we were getting ready to go do the production in Cincinnati, he did Sweeney Todd on Broadway, and that was a huge hit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when we did this production in Cincinnati, all the critics and press came out to see what we were doing out there. Everybody loved the production, and the producers were just clawing over each other to decide who was going to bring Company to Broadway. And John Doyle was the true gentleman that he was, said, you know, no stunt casting. This is the cast that's going to come to New York. And the 14 of us who had done the show in Cincinnati brought that show to Broadway in the fall of 2006.
Wow. All right.
And I got to play Larry, who is the downtrodden husband of Joanne, who was played by Barbara Walsh. She's the drunken woman who sings the famous song Ladies Who Lunch. And it was just an absolutely fantastic experience to get to do that show on Broadway. And I've worked with John Doyle since on a couple of things, and he's a really wonderful
Excellent.
Director. So it's a great time.
All right. Well, we'll listen to that cut, and then we'll take a short break and be back with more of the Ocean State Theater Company's presentation of Lend Me a Tenor.
Harry? You ever sorry you got married?
You're always sorry. You're always grateful. You're always wondering what might have been. Then she walks in. And still you're sorry, and still you're grateful, and still you wonder, and still you doubt. And she goes out. Everything's different, nothing's changed, only maybe slightly rearranged. You're sorry, grateful, regretful, happy. Why look for answers when none occur? You always are what you always were, which has nothing to do with, all to do with her. You're always sorry, you're always grateful. You hold her thinking, I'm not alone. You're still alone. You don't live for her, you do live with her. You're scared she's starting to drift away, and scared she'll stay. Good things get better, bad get worse. Wait, I think I meant that in reverse. You're sorry, grateful, regretful, happy. Why look for answers? Has nothing to do with, all to do with her.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and sitting with Bruce and Kevin from Lend Me a Tenor at the Ocean State Theater. Kevin Parasol is a director, and Kevin, as director, you have your hands in lots of things. I know that we talked briefly about the sets and the work that Amanda has done there, and Ryan designed costumes. And
yeah, they're beautiful. Actually, I knew Ryan from the last time I worked with Bruce. Bruce and I did a show in New York last summer at the New York Music Theater Festival called The Gig, and Ryan was the costumer for that show. And when I found out he was going to be doing costumes for this, I was delighted because he is a great designer. And these he designed top down. So it was one of these things where he had a rendering of a costume. And just the other day I walked into the costume shop, and it's so amazing to see this, you know, two-dimensional rendering of what the costume is come to life. I mean, they are beautiful. They are, you know, his attention to detail goes to the point where he asked me at a certain point, he said, look, I'd like the bellhop to be in colors that are the colors that are in the hallway. He says, I want the bellhop to be associated with the hotel portion of the room. He said, so what are the colors in the hallway? I said, I don't know. Let's find out what the colors of the hallway are. I mean, that sort of thing where the colors in the bellhop's costume are evocative of what's going on in the rest of the
hotel.
Relates
to it. So that's
right.
The
but, then, you know, so things like that that I don't even think of when I'm, you know, doing a show like that or when I'm putting on costumes. You know, that sort of thing is a real skill. They're beautiful. They are. And the costumes that the Otello costumes, when Tito and Max finally get to wear the big Otello costumes, those are spectacular.
Don't give it away.
No, they're beautiful. I mean, it's something where I have such respect for people who can design like that. Amanda, who designs the set. I mean, like, it is so so beautiful to see these renderings or the scenic plot come to life in
right.
a way that is just...
It's a whole other dimension of the,
oh, it
of
really
the theater
is.
That
it really is.
That Ocean State Theater has done very, very well over the years.
Oh,
and
totally.
Always great sets and great costuming. And like you say, in this particular case, from the bottom up, unlike other productions they've done where they had to, you know, rent things, like My Fair Lady, where they rented dresses and that
right.
kind of thing.
Well, that's such a huge costume
right.
plot. I mean, that's yeah. so many costumes.
Right. So that's great. And it was, you just mentioned, Bruce, Kevin mentioned that you've worked together just once in the past or more than once?
Just that the one show that we did last summer, Doug Cohen's The Gig, which was a lovely new musical. But interestingly, our other star of the show, Nick Gasworth, who plays Max, the nerdy young opera manager we were talking about before, was also in The Gig with the two of us this past summer. That's when I first met Nick. He's a great actor. And Nick and I had actually another opportunity to work together this fall, working on a workshop of a new musical where we were paired again. Which was really fun. So it's really fun for us to be back on stage together for the third time now.
Right. It's interesting how that, you know, it's a huge world, but there's always a connection. There's always somebody worked with somebody who knew somebody who,
that's
you know,
right.
something else.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. And Ocean State Theater has always gotten talent from lots of places. They try to use local talent as much as possible, but it is a professional theater. So there are a certain number of equity stars, right, in each show. And, Kevin, how does that work? Does there have to be a certain, does that be 50%, or do you know if that's how that?
I don't know what their percentages, each regional theater works out its sort of percentages with the union. But for this show, I mean, we have, I think, other than Bruce and Nick, I think everybody else is a local of some sort, either and local
right.
also including Boston. I mean, but I think everybody else is
Lizzie's from New York.
Oh, Lizzie's from New York, right?
Maggie,
the Maggie, the woman playing Maggie. That's right. So we've got five regional folks who are you know.
Well, that's
all
good.
Terrific.
That's good news. And if you'd like to meet them all, remember you can do that. Go take in the show and. As Bruce is saying, we don't want to give it away, but there's lots of things, lots of action, lots of things happening.
It is so funny. This is
oh
it's such a funny play. It's such a privilege to be able to do it, and I think people are really going to enjoy it.
Yeah,
just laughs from beginning to end.
When this closed, like I say, in 1990 on Broadway, it has never left. I mean, it's been in one theater or another since that
constantly,
time.
Right.
Yeah, constantly.
Yeah.
And it had a Broadway revival, I think, 2 years ago as well. I mean, it is a perennial favorite. It's very funny.
Tony Shalhoub and Anthony LaPaglia played Tito Morelli in that production.
Well, we were trying to get him, Bruce, but he was busy.
I'm sure. Right.
And I was busy,
He's
too.
My understudy, actually.
Mike was busy.
I was busy, too. All right, let's listen to, we'll go to one of those other opera cuts, and then we'll be back in a moment.
Salutano l'eroe trionfatore di Cipro. Io recco nelle vostre mani il messaggio dogale. Io bacio il segno della sovrana maestà.
Siete certo che Dio invece non vi parla.
Forse che in grazia tornerà.
Iago, lo spero.
Date dunque le labbra loquaci.
Date,
signore, mia taci.
Orrore, orrore.
La mente mia non osa pensar ch'io vidi il vero.
Ma beh, Cassio.
E penti.
Guarda la ventra in tunche.
Narcisse si sposa.
Pur quale voi, questo è il borghero, la sublima divente.
E' quel che gli è.
Quale sia il tuo pensiero?
Meglio per il suo sol la lingua muta.
Eccolo, è lui, e l'animo lo scruta.
Well, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure meeting you and doing the show today, and time flies when you're having fun. And we're reaching the end of the hour. And Bruce, I just want to thank you for coming in and wish you the best in this presentation.
Thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And Kevin, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. It's good to see you again.
Nice to see you again. And we look forward to Lend Me a Tenor playing April 1st through the 19th. So previews on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, and then Friday night, opening night, the big night. And then Sunday will be the Talk Back, conducting conversation live after the Sunday matinee. And then after that, Into the Woods starts, and then Rounding Third, Gypsy. There's some special shows coming along. Three comedians will be appearing, so check out the website at oceanstatetheater.org for the comedians that are coming on various dates. And then I have a show I'm producing on May 30th called Coastline and Clancy. It's the Coastline Show Chorus, along with Aoife Clancy, daughter of the famous Clancy brothers. And that's going to be on May 30th at the theater. If you're interested in any of that information, go to the website or call 401-921-6800 and get information. And then next month, we'll talk a lot about next year's presentation, but I'll give you a little sneak on it. They've announced the shows that are coming for next year, and they're going to start with the Addams Family. Should be a lot of fun there. Around the World in 80 Days, Breaking Legs, 1776, The Miracle Worker, and Anything Goes. Quite a lineup for next year, so that's going to be very interesting.
A lot of roles in there for us, Bruce.
I know. You guys should be back.
I think we should be back. I have to
pick the best time of year to be here. What is that?
Yeah, I could see, maybe The Miracle Worker.
Yeah, I could do that.
That's a pretty funny one. And, at any rate, we're going to go out listening to a little bit more opera music, and then we'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations.
Venne la tua meta, già vedo, ti spinge il tuo dimone, e il tuo dimon son io, come trascina il mio, nel qual mio credo desolato, e te.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.